Hey, I'm Dr. Lisa. How are you? Great. You're great. How could you not be great? It's a Thursday in the summer. You know, let's all be in a good mood. I fucking tell you, you better fucking be in a good mood and get it together. I have a really good show today, as I always do. But before we get to that, I have to tell you, you should be donating money to us and listening to us and visiting our website, radiofreebrooklyn.com. We're doing such great things here. The show, the station, everything is like expanding. We have so many ideas, and they're not just ideas that are radio ideas. Like, we've got a lot of stuff we want to do to help the community and do education and podcast workshops, and it's going to be benefiting you too, so just come join us. Also, you know what else? I'm doing my own show. I have this crazy show coming up, a showcase, that Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit Showcase. So it's on Monday at 7:30 at the Footlight. And so what I did was I got the weirdest people that were on my show to do the weirdest shit. Like, we're going to have this crazy pornographer. Basically, if you come to my show, you will see a woman with a strap on fucking, on video, okay, fucking a watermelon. And there's a pullback. The spoiler alert. On the other side is another woman fucking the watermelon on the other side with a strap on. But it's shit like that. Anyway, it's free. We're going to ask for some donations, but it's at the Footlight. All the information is on my Facebook page and my Radio Free Brooklyn page. And also the radio station is promoting it. They're really like, yeah, we're in this together. But, you know, I wanted to tell you something, because before I introduce you to our outlandishly talented and fascinating looking guest. It's the first time I've met him, and I thought he looked like a character, but there's some real character quality about this person. And I'll introduce you in a second. So, I'm listening to the old Pink Cloud show. If you don't know Pink Clouds, Pink Clouds is performing Monday night, and it's just amazing, talented, unique, weird performer. Do you know Pink Clouds?
No, I've never heard Pink. Is that a person or a band?
Both.
Oh.
Cool. Really great. Really great. I'll tell you about it later. But anyway, so Pink Clouds is performing. And so I was listening to the show I had done with him a couple months ago. And brush up on, like, maybe I'll grill him about something, see how he's doing. But anyway, she. I got to use the word she. Pronouns, people. I was listening to it, and in the beginning, like I'm talking to you now, I was saying that I was afraid of getting fired from this job, and how irrational it was and how crazy it was that I was worrying about getting fired, because that's something from my emotional past. And I can proudly say today, several months later, I don't feel that way. I won that. I overcame that. So I am really, really, and you know, on the show, I was saying to myself, you've got to change, you know, like cognitive behavioral therapy, you got to change the, just discipline yourself to get the language in your head better. And it fucking worked. Okay. Can you give me a round of applause, Grant? I'm so acknowledged. I'm really happy. So that's Grant Lindahl, people. Did I say your name right, Grant?
How'd you say it?
Lindahl?
Yeah, you killed it.
I killed it. So here's the deal with Grant. I am a huge, huge fan of Grant. Grant does this show called a monthly show. He's an animator and a comedian, and he does this monthly show at the Creek in the Cave every third Friday of every month, and it's called Art School as a Dropout. And I just love everything about it. I love his work. He's a cartoonist, an animator, a comedian, and all the concepts that he brings forth in his show and all that stuff. So I got in touch with him a few months ago to try to get him on my show, and he couldn't. But he actually got in touch with me to be on. So I'm just fascinated and thrilled to have you here, Grant.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. I'm going to have Grant explain his work a little bit, and then play you, I'm going to play you a video that he did, but the writing is actually, you can see the video on my Facebook page, but the writing is and very, very entertaining. And Grant said it was a true story. So before, here's the thing. This is such breaking news. He just broke up with his girlfriend. And his girlfriend is really involved with his show and his work. And we're going to find out all about that. So stay tuned. But before we get to that, Grant, will you explain a little bit about your work and then we'll play the video and people can get an idea?
Oh, yeah, totally. So as far as my animation work goes, a lot of my films are about my hometown that I grew up in Thurmont, Maryland, which is kind of different than most places in Maryland because it's Appalachia, which is very culturally different. We grew up on the Catoctin Mountains. And
what the fuck is, like, we know what that is? What fucking mountains is that?
Well, it's part of, like, the Appalachian Trail where Camp David is, where the president spends his summer.
So are those fancy mountains or crappy?
They're like moonshine, meth-smuggling mountains.
But here's the thing. You grew up in Appalachia, so I imagine you growing up barreless in a trailer park or cabin.
I grew up on this farm. My dad was a pilot and like my parents were doing pretty well, and we moved and my dad was like, we're gonna buy this farm and he's gonna be a part-time farmer, part-time pilot, but he ended up becoming like a full-time pilot, full-time farmer, workaholic. And my family culturally was very different from these people who have lived in these mountains for, like, you know, 200 years.
So were you like this really nice house and grounds among all these really poor people living in trailers with no shoes?
To some extent. I mean, it was a big heroin den. Like a lot of kids in our town, like, would go behind a tree and inject heroin during lunchtime.
That's
and like
sad.
Crazy stuff. Oh yeah. Sorry. This is a really dark side.
I know. That's why. That's what I'm saying. That's your appeal.
I think I'm just really fascinated by, like, kind of impoverished kind of white trash culture. I guess I don't even like the term white trash. I think it's very interesting when you live in, because, like, my parents both grew up in rural, like, Missouri and Kansas, and Midwestern rural is very different from Appalachian rural, because Appalachian people, I think, are very mistrusting of any outsiders because they've just been, you know, fucked over by you know, coal mines,
government.
And the government, big time.
Yeah. Are they Trump voters?
Oh, huge.
That's crazy.
Frederick County actually tried to secede from Maryland during Obama's presidency through a Facebook group.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is so wild. So just so we get a picture, like, when you went to high school, were you like, you're clearly middle class, upper middle class, whatever. Did your brothers and sisters?
What was weird, I think my brother and sisters, because they were in elementary school when we moved, but I was, first off, I'm a weirdo to start.
Yeah,
so,
for
like,
sure.
No matter where I'd be, I'd probably have the cart stacked.
You just, like, you look at you and you're like, guy's a weirdo.
I look like a cartoon character.
It's totally.
Always.
You
always
totally.
Look like one.
Right, right.
No,
and even your voice.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, totally.
Perfect.
Thank you. But yeah, and I'm also like a overly friendly kind of weirdo at the time, not so much now. I try to be through therapy.
So scary. You scared people.
Yeah, I think they just weren't used to.
I think I'm identifying. You could see that.
I think
that,
I was a little soft in a hard town and
sensitive.
You know, and I think it was great though. I'm glad that I grew up there because I would be very boring if
So your brother and sister were in elementary school. Are you the oldest then?
I'm the oldest, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then were you in high school?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're a lot older. Yeah. And then did you go to private school or public school?
Public, all the
and
way.
And so was everybody, were you one of the few, like, let's say middle class, upper middle class kids? Were there a lot of poor kids or what was that like?
I think it was, you know, lower middle class and then very impoverished, because my town is known for, in the wintertime, all the lights on the mountain kind of go out because people have to pay their gas bill and they have to choose between their electric or their gas.
So was that weird for you being like the rich guy? Were you known like
I wasn't
that?
Rich though. My parents.
No, I'm not. Oh, see how defensive you got?
Oh,
I know.
Sorry.
I had to blame you. I don't blame you. I
think I said that because my parents were the most frugal people I've ever met, and they would spend money on repairing their investment, which was this kind of dilapidated farm. Like, I had one working sink for 2 years as a kid. Because my dad bought this like dilapidated farmhouse that was owned by like these hippies. Like, the basement had all this pot growing in it, and like, just we kept finding like a bunch of like crazy, like they stole all these picnic tables and they were hiding them in the mountain part of our farm.
So your parents sound kind of eccentric, no?
Well, my parents didn't steal the picnic tables.
No, but I mean, you know, still.
Oh, they're just like very gung-ho. Like, my dad like loves to flip houses and do construction stuff, and they like gardening and stuff.
Was your dad was a pilot? Was he like commercial airline pilot?
My dad flew B-1s in the Air Force, so he's a bomber for like 10 years, and then he flies for United now. So he's a captain out of Newark. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. So do you get to fly anywhere you want for free?
I used to, and but I'd have to go with him.
There's a little bit of a...
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet he's not that much fun.
One-on-one is pretty good.
Yeah, I think, but like, if you're like, let's go out, let's do the thing. We're in Amsterdam.
It becomes a National Lampoon's Family Vacation, where it's like very structured and just goes wrong all the time, which can be funny. I have some pretty interesting journals about being crammed on a boat with them in the British Virgin Islands.
I'm sure there's plenty of material beyond that. But I want to get to your videos so we can get to your personal life. I want to know, so just tell us a little bit about your work. I mean, you're obviously funny. You have a lot of comedy, but you also are kind of an illustrator, cartoonist, or how would you describe, if we can't, this is a non-visual medium, sadly, how can you describe your work to these people they hear it? Or would you just rather not?
I mean, I can. Basically, I feel like a lot of times I'm trying to combine comedy and visual art in different ways other than just like cartoons, or trying to interact with, I love animation, but I don't like doing it as a commercial job. I like doing it personally.
You have a job as a graphic designer at a comedy.
Yeah, I work at a company called Above Average, and I also work for the sports website, The Kicker, and I make cartoons. I love working with those guys. I love that company. It's really cool.
Shout out.
Yeah, like, don't kill me for talking about it. I got to speak.
No,
I got rep.
No, they like you. I could tell.
No, they're cool. They're good people.
Everything's good. So... But anyway, so what I'm about to play you is, and I think just listening to it is like definitely going to work, but it's the weirdest fucking thing. It's about, it's a true story about a zoo. Give us the background.
Oh, this is dope. I want to do this as a one-man show. I only really worked there for a month, but I went there a lot. The Catoctin Mountain Park Zoo in Thurmont, Maryland. It's a terrible zoo. It's super rundown. If you look up like jaguar attacks, like that's like the first thing that comes up with Catoctin Mountain Park Zoo. But these are like true stories that I collected from my brother, my sister, my friend Theo, what we would hear in high school when I worked there, what I saw, what I wrote down, what I heard. I keep a journal, so a lot of it's...
So are you saying this actually happened?
Yeah, this actually happened.
And... It sounds like were people. I mean, it sounds kind of sad. Was it sort? I mean, it sounds like these animals were tortured a little bit.
Little bit. I think a lot of small town zoos are really sad and depressing. This zoo kind of was like a holding place for when bigger zoos had availability. But a lot of times, some of these animals were in poor condition. Nobody wanted them. So, like a lot of the disabled ones ended up staying. I've heard it's gotten a little bit better, but from my experience, it was a pretty rundown zoo.
All right, so what's the title of this?
I'd say The Creature.
The Creature. Okay, here we go, folks. I got it loaded up. Technology always makes me a little nervous, but I do have it loaded up, and it's...
Oh, cool. In high school, in my hometown, I worked at an independent zoo in Thurmont, Maryland. This is not a normal small town zoo or a normal zoo in general. It was was just this place where a family had a bunch of exotic animals, and they were like, yeah, you can come and see them. Ever since I could remember, something has always gone wrong there. One time, a ram escaped from its pen, ran into an adjacent suburb, and rammed a golden retriever to death during a kid's 7th birthday. The zoo didn't even have enough money for adequate cages. The lions were behind chain-link cages with net ceiling. The lions eventually figured out if they could jump on each other's backs, they could slowly rip open the netting. And they did. And the zoo remained open. The zoo had a series of weird management decisions. For example, we adopted 2 of Siegfried and Roy's white tigers after the incident, and then a pet psychic was called to figure out why they wouldn't mate. But the ultimate combination of terrible decisions and poor enclosures would have to be the creature. The creature was a deformed hibiscus monkey. The monkey could not have children and spend most of its time masturbating and screaming. Over the course of a few weeks, several small animals in the petting zoo would start to disappear. It was discovered that the creature was escaping and hoarding a large amount of baby rabbits and guinea pigs in its cage. So in the infinite wisdom of the management, the creature was tranquilized. A giant man-made lake with a tiny island was made in the center of the zoo, and the creature was abandoned on the island. Can you imagine just waking up on a tiny island with no rabbits or anything? Well, the creature would scream non-stop, night and day. At one point, the creature built its own raft or flotation device from like sticks and shit, and made it to shore and wreaked havoc on the zoo. It ran around, ripped up shit, wouldn't come down from the roof of one of the kiosks. It was finally found hiding with the baby rabbits in the petting zoo. So the management decided, in its infinite wisdom, to fill the island with rabbits to keep the creature happy. And it was. The end.
Did you love that? So good. And you, like, wrote and edited. Did you do, you did everything?
I did basically everything. I did animate it with my animation partner, Godfrey Hibbert,
who's
a really talented animator.
Well, anyway, you know what I got out of, because I enjoyed it before in the visual and audio component, but listening to it in the audio component only, and then glancing over the tiny screen, I realized that the beauty, the animation is really great and fun to look at, but it also has this wonderful way of taking a very kind of dark story and really putting the humor in there hardcore. So it makes it so much, it makes it so great. It makes you feel like you can enjoy it and not feel like, oh, or creepy, but it's great. And it's also like, I mean, the first thing I did, folks, when I met Grant today after watching this was I said, is this real? And it is. He says this really happened.
Yeah, if you look at the website and you look at the map, the island's there. And it's just like the lion story when they did the netting was when I was like 13, and we did the night at the zoo where you camp out at the zoo, and they just told us all these like random stories of like horrible things have gone wrong there, like crazy stuff used to happen there.
Wow, sounds really unsafe.
Yeah, read their Yelp.
Much more dangerous than having transsexuals in the military.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Anyway, so I also found out that folks, that Grant has been in a lot of therapy.
Yeah, well, I've been going to therapy for the first time, but it feels like a lot, I guess.
Really? Like, when did you start going?
Just March for the first time.
Oh, I got the impression that you've been going like since you were a kid. Or
no, I wish.
Oh,
no,
so
I definitely needed it.
What got you into therapy?
My ex-girlfriend was like, you need to go to therapy, and I was like, okay. And
well, you guys just broke up like recently, week or two ago?
No, May.
Like in May, that's very recent.
Was it like
early? And you started going to therapy in March. So what was her point, and what do you think of therapy? What was her point? What was her, like, you're not good enough, you need a therapist.
I just have a lot of problems dealing with empathy and just people, I guess. I don't know. Like, it was more helpful, I think, overall, just having somebody else to sort out like a lot of my issues and communicating.
So are you, she and I mean, Jesus, I say this about my husband, so I'm sure it's partly, it's not uncommon that we, I know I'm going to get like people going, don't make stereotypes, but just for fun, I'm going to just put it out there that I don't think it's that uncommon that women complain that their partner, their male partners aren't empathetic.
I have no idea.
But anyway, so was there a discussion about whether you were really able to, whether you were, makes me wonder that maybe as the kind of artist you are, you're just like one of those people that just holes up in a basement drawing all day and doesn't like concern themselves with anything else.
I think it's a mix of that. There was also, I was like, it's just like a whole lot of stuff. Like, I was like a compulsive liar when we started dating. Like, me and her, we would like, I just made up like, cause like, honestly, I never had like a real like relationship or anything. Mm-hmm. So like, why be honest with this person? And then you realize, oh shit, this relationship's getting serious. Like, you have to like work on this stuff.
So you were being dishonest. Was that a way of keeping an emotional distance?
Absolutely.
And
I also just wanted her to like me and think I was cool, which so, like was idiotic.
What kind of course I can ask.
You want to hear one?
Like, tell me one of the things that you lied about.
Oh man, there's some interesting ones. Like batshit crazy ones. And thank God for therapy. I told her that I had auditioned to be the character Big Head on Silicon Valley, and I've never done that. I wanted her to like me, and it was really dumb and stupid.
That is really dumb.
It's weird, right? It's such like, a dumb lie. But
lying, where does the lying come from? Do you lie? I mean, hey, I was a compulsive liar as an adolescent. I'm not here to judge, man.
Oh, no, it's
but,
cool.
But were you like always a liar?
No, I think maybe like in college I was pretty isolated and no, like I'm pretty like person that just kind of comes in on the wind. I don't have like super strong relationships with people, which now as a developed adult, I'm starting to for the first time. Cause like I grew up super isolated in my town, didn't have a ton of friends. So you're like, okay, I'm just going to shout into the void weird stuff to see if anybody's listening. And a lot of times nobody is.
And so. how old are you?
I'm 27. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Now's
a good time to start. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's about the right time, though.
Huge time. So I go to a lot of therapy and, you know, just dealing with like lots of other problems. Like I'm trying to quit watching pornography. Like I don't watch anything weird or anything, but like that was like a big
that's all I like. The weird
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I this guy
Porno Jim, why do you think he's yeah,
like super the war
yeah, well, fucking the watermelon.
He's changing the game.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. No, but I know what you mean.
Moderation, you know.
No,
in general,
but do you think you watch too much pornography?
I think I do. I think I use it basically as an anxiety tool to mm-hmm. curb kind of my, I have a lot of anxiety, so it's like self-medicating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And basically like it wasn't really, I think the reason we broke up was it wasn't because of that, it was mostly because like I was lying that I was still watching it, you know. And
you would tell her you were watching it even though you weren't?
No, I told her that I wasn't watching it, and then she found out I was, and then we broke up, and there was a lot of stress with our relationship. We fought like all the time. I think she's a great person and we're still friends, but I think there was, it just had a lot of stress.
The lying thing is weird because it sounds, I mean, there's no reason to lie, but yeah. It sounds like you're afraid that she wouldn't like who you are as you are. It's a self, it's,
I have horrible self-esteem.
So how come?
Probably cause I don't know. I was just a super weird, like didn't understand social cues kid. And so basically, I think a lot of times I don't understand certain social norms. And so mm-hmm.
Is that like a people like, you know, what do they call it? Asperger's thingy?
I guess.
Do you think it's like an innate thing that you just don't get it?
I think I've had to work at it, honestly.
You think you can develop it?
Yeah.
But you're not really. Maybe it just didn't get. Maybe it's not like biological. But maybe you don't. So what was your relationship with your mother like?
It was good. My mom's awesome. My mom's really cool, you know. I think she's super supportive. Like, me and my parents is pretty good now, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my mom's really chill. She's always the one that keeps the family together.
And did you have any problems, like, in high school? Like, any particular problems?
Oh, I was a huge weirdo. Like, all the time.
But what does that mean? Like,
well, okay. So, here's a social thing. From sixth grade to my senior year of high school, I was called Vagina Boy. Because somebody in sixth grade, when I was in a production of Annie, asked me if I knew what a dick or a vagina was. And I said dick, but then I said, no, I have a vagina. And then everybody started shouting, vagina boy, vagina boy. And then I was just kind of called that in like every other variation. It's called V-Man. It's called like V, special V. Just lots of that fun stuff. So, you know, but it makes you tough. You know, it's fine.
Well, you know what? That is so awful.
That's how I became a comedian.
No, but that's definitely one of the worst stories I've ever heard. That's horrible that you had to go through that. Did anybody know about it?
What do you mean? Oh, my parents or something? Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. My dad thought it was funny. So, you know, like.
Well, what about that? It's not funny.
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, they sympathize, but.
It is kind of funny.
It's a little funny. Let's be honest. I was caught.
Well, I'm picturing you as like a young man, like a very young man like that. A child,
tiny
really.
Boy. Tiny 13-year-old
boy. A 13-year-old boy and being called that, and it's very upsetting. It's also really, like, not... It's very sexist. It makes women... It's not good for, you know, attitudes about women either.
Well, you know what ended up happening is...
Vagina boy.
Like, yeah, you can call me that.
That's so mean. It's just so outrageous. Go ahead.
Feel... No, it totally is outrageous. And I think it made me super insecure about everything after that, because I was just constantly... on everybody's radar, because I let it affect me so badly.
What would you do?
I just freaked out. I'd cry. You know, it's so stupid. It's so easy to make me cry.
Yeah, see, you got to own that, I think.
Yeah.
Got to be like, of course I cried.
Yeah, well,
of course.
See,
of
that's
course.
Good. You're a good therapist. There you go.
Thanks.
You're crushing it.
No, I'm on your side, man.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that you're like... Your dad, I'm like, okay, Mr. Lindahl, you're probably a great guy and a great father, but I'm fucking pissed off at you. I'm really pissed off at you for not telling Grant that was horrible. You should have, like, said that's really wrong, that's really mean, women are great, don't let them screw with you, I'm going to go to school and tell the management of the school that they better fucking get on that, because that's not good for you or anybody else. And by normalizing it, then it puts the onus on you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Let's get in that time machine and make it happen. Then I probably won't be very funny.
No.
No,
it's the damage is done. You know, this is what I was saying earlier about cognitive therapy. I mean, you're damaged. This isn't something you can talk your way out of, but you can compensate.
Well, you know what's good about it, at least the way I try to look at it with a silver lining, of course, is that now, like after that day, anything anybody said, like, over time, nothing can touch me, honestly.
Oh,
I just
so
do
you
not
can't
give
get insulted.
No, I can be, like, naked running down the street covered in blood, and I just do not give a shit, because it's not going to matter. You're going to wake up the next day. Like, if there's any kids out there, and you get picked on or whatever, and you survive it, because, like, some kids don't survive it, unfortunately.
Yes, this is true.
But, you know, if you do, you're going to be light years ahead of everybody
else. So you got
else.
The resiliency.
Oh, yeah. Big
up
time.
Man, what a reward.
Yeah. I think
that's totally worth it. Almost.
It's
worth it now.
Yeah. I'd say, you know, it's like a weird mutation in your mind. I think, you know, there's definitely some baggage with that. But it definitely has made my comedy, like, I was able to do stand-up and stuff because I just, like, did not give a shit. Like, mm-hmm. What am I going
to
lose?
Nothing to lose.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's so great.
I'm just going to be me. After that day, I was like, I'm just going to wholly and heartily be me.
Wow.
You know?
Those are great, really great instincts.
Yeah, and so, like, I just wore weird shit and did weird shit and just, you know, was like myself. And also, I got really comfortable at being enjoying being around myself. I think a lot of people are uncomfortable. Yes. So I spent a lot of time doing my own projects and my own work, and I wanted to get out of that town. And so I was like, I'm going to focus on my art, going to not do drugs, you know, just get out.
So you spent a lot of time at home drawing. Is that what you did?
Well, it was weird because my dad had this rule where he was like, you can either join a club or sports team after school and do that, or you can come home and work on the farm. And I hate farming. So I was on, like, you ever see the movie Rushmore?
No, not in
full. Well, it's about a kid who's like in every private school club, like ridiculous ones, like even like the Korean club, and he's not Korean. I was in almost like every single club and sports team, and I suck at sports hard. I was on the wrestling team. I did lacrosse. I was in a marching band. I did the plays.
That's so weird, everything. Because you're like, but you were saying that you were such an outcast.
They hated me though. They still hated me.
That's crazy that you were joining everything.
Because I didn't want,
I've never heard of that. Because most kids would just withdraw. You didn't withdraw.
Because I didn't want to be stuck on the farm digging cow shit or
logging. Wow. So what happened? Were you just like in the corner at the club?
Oh, dude. So like I was on the wrestling team and none of the wrestling kids wanted me there, but I could take a beating and just keep getting up. And so I like earned their respect. They actually started calling me V-Man because it was weird calling somebody that was like their equal vagina boy.
Yeah,
so
right.
I just owned it, you know?
Oh, I see.
Mostly out of just my hate of farming. And like, honestly, I got picked on a ton. I actually had when I was on the soccer team, the entire football team took my soccer jacket, put it in the toilet, and took shits and pisses on it. Like about 100 kids. So that was crazy. The soccer team, they pissed in the water jug they made me carry down. And then a kid took my calculator and threw it in the toilet. I was his teammate too, but I sucked. Like I took the soccer ball the wrong way. I was weird. I was like just doing weird stuff.
What's
all
also
time.
Interesting is how extreme the people you were around. Is that because it's Appalachia and it's like a lawless society? Like I can't imagine people in my high school getting away with that shit.
It was just kind
of how many kids in your high school?
It was small. That's the thing. It's like I had a class of 120, so it wasn't like, you know, one room class.
No, but it was small. But maybe that's, wow, sounds like they got away with shit. And did you have any friends at all? Was anybody defending you or helping you or putting up or putting on your side?
Not really. I wasn't really friends with anybody in my grade, but I was friends with people in the grade above me, which was these weird trench coat kids that didn't really want to be my friend, but we were like friendly. Like I remember
trench coat kids.
Once drove one of these kids. I don't know why I hung out with them. I was just so desperate for like a friend, but basically he wore trench coats. And do you know what live action role playing is?
Yeah,
super dorky. But I even thought it was dorky, and I was like, okay, I'll do it just because this person's a weirdo, and I'm a weirdo.
So you were just open.
I drove him there, and then he was like, I'm gonna go hang out with my friends because they like don't know you, and so I got ghosted at a live action role-playing event. Like what?
I have to remind people that they're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn again. Did you know that? You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, and this is Dr. Lisa of Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, and I'm having this really amazing conversation with cartoonist, weirdo, outcast, talented, funny Grant Lindahl. When you got out, like when you went to college, did everything change? Was it like, oh my God, I'm out of here?
Oh, that was a revolution. That's crazy.
So what was that like?
It was like, so I went to the Maryland Institute College of Art, MICA. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of, my parents never encouraged me to go to art school, but I made art all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like they didn't discourage it, but basically I just had to like put those wheels in motion. And I basically, MICA's whole thing is like, we're gonna build this super tight, crazy community in Baltimore, of all places, this kind of scary city.
Yeah, no, I know about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And from day one, it was awesome.
Like, oh, that's great. So you've really found yourself once you got out of that.
I think a lot of people kind of find themselves in college.
Sure. Or, when you get away from your background.
Yeah, and just having independence.
And resiliency, man. Oh, that's so great. It's so great. So let's talk more about your personal life. So you didn't have any girlfriends. This girl who we will remain nameless, even though some of these people that are listening know who it is, I'm certain. I'll find out later, okay? But she's probably a nice girl because you're a nice guy. I can tell you're a decent guy.
Sometimes.
I mean, it just, like, things got fucked up. So how long were you going out with her?
We were dating for almost, like, it was like a year and a half.
Did you live together?
No, but I would spend most of my time at her place.
And was this the first relationship you've had? Real girlfriend?
I had one real relationship in college, but, like, I've dated around with some other girls in New York, but, like, this was, like, we were both kind of like comedy partners, too. It was crazy. It was really weird.
So did you met through, like, probably the Creek in the Cave or something like that?
I'm not going to say what it is, but we met in comedy, yeah.
Yeah, you met in comedy. And did you like her right away?
I thought she was a little intense, but I did. I did like her.
So was it mutual or were you... Did you notice her first or was she after you?
I have such a bad self-worth when it comes to approaching women, I guess. Uh-huh. But she approached me because I was working at the venue and she had a show. And we were talking about taxidermy.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then we just kind of hit it off pretty quickly.
So you started dating pretty much right away?
Yeah. It was pretty rare. I've never had that happen. Mm-hmm. So.
And what did you feel like during the relationship? Like, why did you not feel adequate? Maybe that's an assumption, but the lying makes me think
Oh god, I don't know. I think I was just such a compulsive liar at that point because I was so lonely and just did not give a shit being a sociopath, I guess.
Is this okay to talk about?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay, cool. I don't want to.
I mean, I whatever.
But did you ever lie? Were you ever, so you lied automatically, let's just say that. And did you ever have lie to other people that way or lie in other situations?
I think so.
So you have that in your personality or your bag of tricks?
I think, I think so.
But here's what
I don't really do anymore because it comes back.
It comes
hard.
Back. Of course it does. Yeah. But, and you know that, but you know, sometimes we just can't help we just can't control it. We lose control. We're fucking humans. You're only 27.
You're just like bored and you do it, but man, it comes back. It's the same about like talking smack about people. Like it comes back. It mm-hmm. will always come back mm-hmm. to haunt you, Donald Trump.
So you were just sort of in the habit of doing it but was this the biggest?
Well, then I had to, like, things started getting serious after like a month, 2 months, and I had to like slowly undo that bandage of lies, and that's not fun. I think it was so traumatic. I never want to do that again. That was awful.
I'm like, sorry. I know.
No. See, that's a good lesson to learn. Trauma is a good lesson sometimes.
No, I know. But I feel like this is a good thing and inevitable and a good time to have it happen. Like, not like after you were married with three kids with somebody else. But, I mean, the time, it's totally appropriate and normal and you need to do it. But I still feel bad for, you know,
I think like once you learn.
So I'm feeling bad. Can you accept that?
Yeah, that's fine. You can feel bad. I felt horrible. I felt like, oh man, you're an idiot. You like ruined the one good thing.
How did you try to explain? So that was really Did you try to rationalize the lies, or did you try to say I was lying because I wanted to impress you, or mm-hmm. how'd you handle it?
I just was straight up. I was like, I just wanted you to think I'm cool. I'm horribly insecure. And then another thing that I used to do was like, I hated, that was like the first time I've ever with a person admitted I was wrong. Like,
oh,
I almost,
you're not good at that? You well, lie.
Now you lie
and you're not good at admitting you're wrong, or you weren't. Yeah, that's a
I just wouldn't.
Yeah.
Fight
why?
All
why the, is that? That's an.
Oh, just because I wanted to be right.
Ego thing.
And just ego. Because
oh, wow.
I'm insecure. I'm
yeah,
horribly
right.
insecure.
You've, so that's. Yeah. Yeah. So you've, like, definitely had.
Yeah.
A, so.
So but working, going to therapy now, working on a lot of that stuff, trying to be a. A normal human being and not a nut job, I guess. But, you know, I think this relationship, you know, we're still friends. And I think it was one of the best relationships. I think she's a great person. I just think I have a lot of things I need to
well,
work
on. Well, I think
on.
That, I you know, she, is that why she got you to go to therapy because of the lying thing?
The lying and she didn't want me to, yeah, it was lying, basically. It was uh-huh. like the big thing that we were uh-huh. working on.
So are you understanding lying in a different way, like what it means or like why
yeah.
why you do it?
How it affects people. I think trying to think of the empathy thing. That is the biggest thing that I
because
think of.
Maybe for you lying made it feel like if you don't feel like you have an effect on people, then lying doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And then you realize, oh man, the thing you gotta learn is your words and actions have ripple effects on so many things. And so I was like, oh god, this is I'm in my head like all the time, like
right.
I zone out and I go, when I was younger I could just go into like a whole nother world and lose track
right.
of everything.
So part of it is probably like a, you know, fine line between reality and fantasy too. I don't think like
yeah.
you're not, you don't, I mean what I guess I'm clear about, It seems you're clear about, is that you're not lying in a malicious way.
No, it's like stupid things to make me seem cool or something. Which
right.
But most people can see through those and go like, oh my god, this guy's
yeah.
like, something's wrong with this dude.
Yeah, yeah. So you probably could get along with it with your friends, because they're like, oh, you know, he doesn't mean anything. He's not like trying. It wasn't like you were lying to get money out of people or something.
No, I would never do anything.
Which is
like
really
that.
Really different.
It was
so,
never yeah. like a lie of conceiving. It was like just stupid lies.
So your friends probably let it slide, and then when you get involved with somebody, you can't be, you understand that now, that it's hard to be close to somebody if you're you cannot be close.
Yeah,
to
just
somebody
pushes.
Being intimate with somebody is the opposite.
I never want to, the big thing is like, I never want to like break that trust with a person again, because
mm-hmm.
like that's all you really have.
Right.
Like when you don't have any money or shelter or anything, mm-hmm. all you have is that trust.
So you sound repentant on this. Does she know that?
Oh, big time. I mean, we're still friends and we still talk, but I feel really awful about
yeah,
like.
No, I get that.
I think, you know, that she. Relationships are hard.
Yeah,
general.
Tell me about it.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and it's not. It's yeah. It's well. It's growth. As long as you're getting growth out of it.
Yeah, I think I was growing. I don't know if I think I was stunting hers a bit. But who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe
I mean,
we'll meet in the middle like Benjamin Button again.
I don't know. I mean, so
I
you
know.
Guys still see each other around, and she was involved with your work, your comedy
yeah,
show.
Yeah,
so.
She was a big person proponent of kind of like revolutionizing the whole way we do the show, and she's awesome. Like I got a tattoo that her friend designed based off an online contest that I had for the show, and got tattooed live on the show.
Wow.
And she was there for that. That was pretty cool. We're both different kind of artists. Like, she's a very like meticulous and organized and has to plan out. I'm very like, let's do it right now. DIY punk. Let's set this on fire. This is the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of combined both our vibes, and we made something pretty cool, and I'm still making it, and I have a great team of people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, I
yeah,
work
the
with.
Show has a really good reputation, and it's been mentioned in the Times, right? And,
yeah,
it's
Broadway
gotten,
World,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it definitely sounds like a fascinating.
It's literally, I have a weird fantasy that I want to do, and instead of lying about it, I just do it on the show. And so, like,
oh, that's so cool.
That's like basically, I fought two guys. It's really dumb. Some of it's not even like a joke. It's just like weird things I want to do, like. Basically, I fought two guys dressed as white tigers in a giant kiddie swimming pool that was filled with like fake blood and
oh,
body
wow.
parts. And There's a video of me falling on my ass, like in my boxers, while getting like beaten up by a guy dressed as Tiger. And there's no joke. It's just like a thing I wanted to do.
Like a weird thing.
And yeah. I was like, this was like from like a dream I had, and I think it's funny, and let's just do it. And who knows? We'll see.
So creatively, that must be tough that you don't have her to work with.
You know, it was, but also it's kind of freeing because I can just, like, when you work with an intimate partner and not just a comedy partner, a person you're dating, you know, that can be kind of intense because you have to really respect that. You have to agree on everything.
Right.
Which, I mean, I really enjoy. I learned a lot of working with a person, but now I'm just kind of the head of the show.
You're just developing it.
And now I have people that work on it. And so I can just kind
of develop it.
And so it's a different kind of song now that we're playing, but it's still a good one.
Still, yeah. Oh, that, no, it sounds like really good actually for your creative development. What's, do you have like a vision of what you would like? Would you like a TV show? Are you looking for like a TV show eventually?
Yeah.
What would your dream be?
I kind of would like it to be like this Adult Swim kind of, you know, like how like Vampirella would like show, or was her name Vampirella, or what was her name? She would showcase those. You remember like how like people on like public access in like the 60s and 70s would showcase like the midnight movie, and they'd dress like a you know, monster or something. I want to do that, but with cartoons, and I want to showcase independent cartoons made by young people around the country on like Adult Swim, and host as Grantland, all the famous artists that was banned from MoMA PS1 for starting a small fire.
I was wondering about that. Is that a joke?
That's all made up.
Because you've been using that in your bio.
That's like a character
thing.
I wanted
to ask you about that. So, because I love that you say that you were banned from that.
Because we're down the street. The venue's down the street from MoMA. I don't even think they know we exist. But every month I write something about how like I've been banned from. It's basically this artist that I want to create this character that's basically when I used to work at SVA, all the insane art teachers that would like come in like the art stores or different places I worked there. And basically I want him, I'm like, what if that person failed and was shunned from the art world, and they would have to like affect the world around them? So like kind of this character that kind of showcases like this midnight animation saga.
So this sort of like egomaniac gone wrong.
Yeah.
Without like, any, because that it's kind of like, I guess acceptance and recognition are huge themes in your life. I mean, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, there was a question I was going to ask you. Let me find it again. Where did it go? The question I was going to ask. So what do you think about? Do you have opinions about the art world? Do you actively not want to get involved in that? Or do you want to get involved? What's your thoughts about the art world? Because, you know,
Of scam artists.
Do you think so? No, what do you really think? No lying. Lying and
no
joking
lying.
Are
You'll
really
never
blessed.
Know. After I told you that, you'll just assume I'm lying. It's cool.
No, that's what I've done. It's really funny. Well, also, he had a little bit of a cynical look on his face, folks.
Oh.
He had that look on his
fury,
face.
The fury of student debt.
There's a look where you're like, is he kidding or serious? I think if I knew you really well, or knew you a lot better than this 45 minutes that I do know you now, I think 49 minutes really, I think that I would be able to tell, but I couldn't tell. So did you know a lot of artists in college, or we get a lot of artists.
Art school, so
what's your, what do you think about the whole art world thing?
Well, I think art school is a scam. If you really want to pursue a career in the arts, just take that 4 years and move to a major metropolitan area that you can make some money or like get recognized, and just do it. And also, if you want to go to grad school for art, and you're not doing that artwork every single day, it's stupid. Don't go. Like, just buy a camera, go make a movie, like make your book, you know, because when you get out, it's such a struggle, such a grind, unless you're a graphic designer, unless you're like an advertiser or some other kind of pencil pushing part of the art world. But honestly, I think it's a waste of time. I really enjoyed my experience of art school, but that said, that $83,000 debt crushes you hard. And so unless you're a rich kid, which a lot of kids in art school are,
yep.
Like, man, that thing kicks you in the balls.
I am enthusiastically applauding and agreeing with you. Enthusiastically. It's so true. I mean,
it's astronomical, like how much they think that they're worth to charge that to artists. And then they also go out to poor areas and try to target kids. Like, I think the Art Institute model, not Chicago,
like,
but like
San Francisco Institute of Art
or Scranton, PA's Art Institute. Those should be burned to the ground. Let's get torches. Let's burn it. I probably shouldn't say that.
Make art about it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have a protest.
Yeah, I think we should. I'm going to rally people behind that. That's kind of the model of the collective, was that you don't need to go to art school. You don't need to take improv classes to be a good comedian. It's all a rip. Like, you gotta go. You know how you do it? You go out, you start your own show, you don't wait on people, you don't wait on institution.
But do you see the work that you do now as more in a different, you know, road path than like being an artist in the art world? Are you interested in, like, do you like going to museums? Do you like that kind of art?
I do. I do really enjoy going to museums and making art in that regard. But I've always been kind of a performance artist and combining what I've done. I've always been making movies. I've always been doing weird, kind of shocking things to mess with people. Mm-hmm. And, like, I love Eric Andre. I think he's a genius. Yeah. But I don't like high society. I don't like being confined. The work to be confined to walls,
right?
That are profited upon,
right? Yeah, I do
appreciate people who do stuff like that, and I can find, you know, value in it, but it's not my jam.
I find the art world really conservative.
I hate that. I hate
they're really conservative, right?
Oh, I got kicked out.
I shouldn't be saying this.
Well, I shouldn't say. I'm see, this is, it's gonna come back to me.
Loud mouth. I want to, you know, we only have like 7 minutes left, and I want to make sure that we get like a little more promotion for you in before we leave. But and to remind people that they're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn and to like enjoy listening to us and go to our website, give us money, or even write us a nice note. I'm Dr. Lisa at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. If you want to write me a nice note or say something nice that I would then tell Grant about. But also, let's talk about your future with women. Let's do that. Are you going to start dating again?
I actually have I just started this week. I have a date. I like compulsively date sometimes.
You
like
do?
Binge,
you like date?
Binge
is
dating.
You binge date? Now, is that like for the sex?
To.
Or is that is,
no,
it, is that just like you're lonely? Or what compulsive?
I just,
what
do you, like, bored. What? I don't know. I want the attention, I guess.
You just want... You're just like, this will be fun. Entertainment. Yeah. You see it as entertainment?
Yeah, I do want to find somebody that's like fun to hang out with. I have two friends. One lives in London. One is my animation friend, Godfrey. And then I work a ton.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Like,
you don't really have a lot of time for dating.
Yeah,
right.
And so like when I have some free time, I do it. And I enjoy talking to people and practicing empathy and honesty, because my therapist tells me, and I have to go look him in the eyes on Tuesday, and he asks,
good.
Have you done the things we said we were gonna try? And I'm like, sometimes. I've actually been doing pretty good.
No, you've got your heart in the right place. You're definitely like, I mean, in my well, it has been 50 minutes, so I'm allowed to give you an opinion. So I think that you definitely got it. I think this chick was the best thing that happened to you, because I think she like brought that to a head, and I think that you really want to get a handle on that. I think, and I'm certain you're going to. I just think that like a lot of it is habit, and you need to just, you know, I mean, it's only been since, you know, it's been a very short time, and you know, by next year when you come back next year to talk about it again, you're going to be like totally cool.
I'll be really cool. I'll have like a full beard and a glitter outfit.
Not cool. No, you'll always be a dork, but you know, you'll be cool about that particular lying thing and being honest and being more intimate. And by then you'll probably have another girlfriend maybe, or girls, I think what you're going to find, I'm sure of this, I feel very sure of this, that once you start being more honest and you still have that same, like, don't give a fuck resiliency, but that honesty is important to you and people are going to pick up on that. It's going to be like, it's going to just amplify the best things about you and your life. I really do believe that. So I think I'm glad we got to like meet you at like the before, slightly in the before phase, because there's definitely going to be an after phase that's going to be a big improvement, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Got to.
Are you not afraid of losing your like weirdo character, are you, by having your shit together? Okay.
Then no. That, I always think that's weird when like comedians get sober or anything or have a kid and they're like, it's going to ruin my comedy. That's stupid.
Okay, good.
Just you always want to just improve and change as a person.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's got to be your values, right?
So you're dating around. Is that what we're gonna say?
Yeah, I'm available, ladies. I hang out at the creek. I look like a mix of Weird Al and Harry Potter and Where's Waldo. So
how do you meet women? Are you an app guy? Are you an in person guy?
A little bit of both. Little yeah. Both.
So who's the next date? Tell us about it. Who are you going out with next?
Oh, I don't know if I want to say on
yeah,
air.
Come on. You don't have to say the name. What's appealing about her? Let's put it that way.
She likes Larry David, and I don't know. She seems cool. She seems equally depressed, so that's
Have you seen photos?
Yeah.
You haven't met her?
We met on the app, Cupid.
Which is a pretty, like...
I like that one.
Yeah, that's like a... That's not like a hookup app.
No, I can't do hookups. They make me sad. You just feel sad afterwards. Some guys don't, but like, man, that hits me hard. Yeah. I'm too much of a weirdo.
Yeah. I don't think everybody's made for that. I can't. I mean, I'm married now, but you know, in my, I've had my share of one night stands, and every time I've had them, I've got nothing against it, but I can't emotionally handle it.
I don't have anything against it. Each is his own. Like, follow your heart. But
yeah,
man.
Some people just aren't made for that.
I am not. I am a, like, insecure, emotional wreck. So,
no,
like,
you're not. No, you know what? You're not.
No. I'm actually doing pretty good lately.
Yeah,
I'm
you're not. And you have, like, a good full-time job, right?
Yeah.
With health insurance?
Got those
so,
bennies.
So, like, what about... that. So I'm not buying
pays
this.
For that therapy.
I'm
man.
Not buying this. You know what? This is what I do. Maybe you're doing this where you lower people's expectations of you.
I just do the Marc Maron set the bar low.
Oh.
And so, yeah, like, which he should not be a model for any
kind of
young
like,
man.
I got grossed out after the Obama thing.
Yeah.
You too? A lot of people say that.
A little weird for me.
Yeah.
He was kind of like a big kind of model for me.
And too.
I was like, he's not a good role model to have.
No. And also, he got all these famous people on. We only have a minute left.
Yeah.
So you know what? Because we only have a minute and I really want to make sure that we get all the promotion in for you that we can, will you like list the things that people should go and find out about you?
Yeah. If you want to hire me to make like cool posters or stuff, I do a lot of comedy posters, grantdraws.com, or you can email me at grantlindahl@gmail.com. My Instagram is gvlindahl. Please check out the Art School Acid Collective's Facebook group, Art School Acid on Facebook. We post all our shows, videos, and editorial.
And the show is really important. You should go to that because I know it's great, and it's at the Creek in the Cave every third Friday.
Extreme psychedelic sketch show. We do not give away free acid. Please stop messaging me.
So have you taken acid?
Lots of times.
You like acid?
Love acid. It's the best drug ever. You should respect it, though, and be in a safe, controlled environment. It is not something that you just
How
do
about
for
other
fun.
Psychedelics?
I've done shrooms. I had a really insane bad experience on shrooms because somebody gave me way too many. And it was the first psychedelic drug I've ever done. And I may do that again, but honestly.
So acid is your thing?
Acid's cool because like, you got like a control.
Once a month?
Probably once every other month because I feel like you need like 2 days to recover, at least